Very good morning to you. My name is John Ross. I'm a retired pastor from Farnham in Surrey. As we open Proverbs and look at the issue of money, let's ask God to help us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the text of Scripture. We thank you that you have preserved it so accurately for us. We thank you that we have it in our hands, translated. Thank you for those who've done such a good job in making it into vernacular languages. And we pray that you would speak to us through your word this morning, that you would change us, that you would not merely just reinforce the attitudes we already hold, but you would challenge our attitudes, and that you would make us people who love you more and think more highly of the Lord Jesus than we did when we came in. We pray that our children will be well taught, and we pray too that we will be well taught. In Jesus' name, amen.
God, your microphone's become unclipped.
Hanging down. Sorry about all this noise. Let's see. Is that better? Can you hear me? Thanks very much. Okay, in Proverbs, we've been looking at different characters. We've noticed that the whole theme of Proverbs is about wisdom. So wise in every way. In fact, we could put it like this. There are only two sorts of people in the world. There are the wise and the foolish. You could divide everybody up into those two categories. Are you wise or are you foolish? At least that's how Proverbs seems to think. It talks a lot about folly. It talks a lot about laziness. The stubborn person we looked at last week. But it talks about the wise. The wise are those who fear God, who live for God, who honour God, who worship God. Everyone else, Proverbs thinks, is a fool. Now, our world wouldn't like that kind of language, and I suggest if you do meet someone in the street, you don't just call them a fool to their face. Now, the wise used to be fools. See, the wise acknowledge that they were foolish, and God took them and changed them, often by the scruff of their neck, and turned them round. But even those of us who would claim to be wise because we know God and we want to honour God, we need to be taught to continue to live in wisdom. Because folly is the default position of all of us. Wouldn't you agree? And one way to discern whether a person is wise rather than a fool is to see how they use their money and their resources. Now, money is a big theme in Proverbs. Mr. Talkative told us that we should control our speech. Mr. Lazy told us that we shouldn't waste our time. But Mr. Moneybags calls on us to use our resources well. Now, remember, Proverbs is generally pithy statements, generally. There are some passages of prose that flow together, but generally they're little pithy individual statements. They are generally true. This is not Old Testament law. They're not fixed promises. And sometimes they appear to contradict. For example, let's start here at Proverbs 10 and verse 22. Let's start at Proverbs 10, 22. Which you'll find on page 594. Proverbs 10, number 22. This is a general truth. It's not always true, but it's a general truth. 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. A generally true, that God blesses those who are rich. So it's a great blessing to have wealth. But then just contrast that proverb with this one in 28 and number 6. 28 and number 6. Top of page 612. 28:6. Here is a poor person. Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than a rich man who is crooked in his ways. Now, how are you meant to read those two? The blessing of the Lord makes us rich, that's true. But blessed is a poor man who walks in his integrity rather than a rich man who's crooked in his ways. Well, the answer is don't read them as law. They are wisdom statements. They generally hold true. It is better to be poor and walk upright in integrity than it is to be wealthy and wicked, crooked, corrupt. Yes, God does sometimes bless us with wealth. But if you're not rich, don't begrudge it. Don't harangue God. Continue to live with integrity. So what can we learn this morning from Proverbs about money? Let me make a few general statements to help us. My first point I think I'd like to make is this. Money is not ultimate, but it is a blessing. We've seen that already. It is a blessing, but it's not ultimate. Money is not the ultimate thing to live for. But nonetheless, Mr. Moneybags is greatly blessed because wealth is a blessing from God. Now, Proverbs takes a cautious view of wealth, as does my financial advisor too. Proverbs 13 and verse 11. I notice I've got some funds which are called cautious managed funds. I love that. Cautious managed funds. 13:11. Wealth gained hastily, or by fraud, some translations put it, wealth gained hastily will dwindle. And whoever gathers little, by little will increase it. Oh, sorry, whoever gathers little by little will increase it. In other words, dishonest money dwindles away. But whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. Proverbs warns us that wealth is not ultimate. Rich people also face the last day of judgment. Just come back one page to 11:4. Just look at this little one at 11:4. Thinking about the day of judgment. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath or the day of judgment, but righteousness delivers from death. So there are people who store up wealth and gain wealth to protect themselves. And in this part of the world where you can earn well, you can protect yourself, you can pay for your private health care, you can pay for your education, you can certainly pay for your funeral, and you can give all the money you want to your family. But you can't prevent death. You can't prevent the judgment of God. You can't pay off God. Money can put food on the table, but as someone said, it can't put love around the table. So here's a wonderful proverb. Do you know this one at 15:17? Here's one I rather like. 15:17. Better is a dinner of what the Americans call herbs. Better is the dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it. Isn't that well put? I rather like that. Better to eat a dish of vegetables, says one translation, with love around the table, than to have all the meat you want and hatred around the table. Now we sometimes talk, if only I had a little more, I'd be able to change the car more often, wouldn't I? Or I might be able to increase my pension a little bit more. It would just ease my situation if only I had a little bit more. We even think that a little bit more money will make us happier. But, there is still death to face. Look at 27:20. Sheol and Abaddon, these places after death, are never satisfied. And never satisfied are the eyes of man. Overlove of money is really, really dangerous. When you set your eyes on it, it is gone. Never satisfied. The bottom line is that right living is much more important than riches. And if riches are achieved by dubious means, then trouble can come along. Take this one at 23:4 and 5. 23:4 and 5 go together. Do not toil to acquire wealth, 23:4. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it is gone. For suddenly, this is a lovely picture of money, isn't it? It sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven. It's gone. How true. We're not to wear ourselves out getting rich. We're to be wise enough to know when to stop. Riches can disappear so quickly from us. Fly away like an eagle. Now in Proverbs, on the whole, that is not in every case, it is the righteous whom God honours. And often he honours them with riches. So you've got this promise in Proverbs 3, a promise you might know quite well, 3:9, if you come back with me, 3:9. Honour the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. That's what we read earlier. Honour the Lord with your wealth, even the first pickings of the land, and your barns will be full and you'll have plenty of wine. Now, the general principle is that use your resources well, honour the Lord with them, give your full dues to God, the first fruits, and you will find that God will look after you materially. Generally, that is true. It's a general principle in the Old Testament. It is not a fixed, guaranteed law. It is not a formula for success. It is not a promise. That's why the gospel called the prosperity gospel is not the true gospel. It's more of an Old Testament understanding. You are not guaranteed. It's not a guarantee that money will come flowing freely if you honour God with your life. It's a general principle. It seems that there is a greater correlation between spiritual values and wealth, between the righteous and the rich. But it's not a guarantee. It's not a guarantee. So just as money is not ultimate, it is a blessing, so I think we should say this something about foolishness. Foolishness is stupid in Proverbs. It usually leads to poverty. It is stupid. So Proverbs says don't be lazy. Proverbs 10, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Or one translation puts it, lazy people are soon poor, hard workers get rich. Generally, that is true. Lazy people do usually end up in greater poverty. Harder you work, usually the richer you are. Not always, but usually. But there's another reason for foolish behaviour. And that's what we could call self-indulgence. So just come with me to 21:17. Let's just nip there for a minute. 21:17. Whoever loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. In other words, be careful on what you spend on yourself. Loving pleasure for yourself. Loving the good life for yourself. Just be careful. Just be careful what you spend on yourself. Don't self-indulge, says Proverbs. And if we treat people badly, if we oppress the poor, well, don't expect the blessing of God on your wealth. Just look over the page at 22:16 with me. 22:16. Whoever oppresses the poor to increase his own wealth or gives to the rich, one translation has showering gifts on the rich, will end in poverty. If you oppress the poor, they're not having it, it's mine, I'm keeping it. Be careful, be careful, be careful, be careful, he says. Don't oppress the poor. In other words, in general, godly living increases one's wealth. In general. Ungodly living, in general, leads to poverty. But it's not always true. You see, there are rich fools and there are poor wise people, aren't there? So Proverbs 11:18 says, the wicked earns deceptive wages, but one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward. 11:18. Or the New Living Translation puts it, evil people get rich for the moment, but the reward of the godly will last. Evil people get rich for the moment, but the reward of the godly will last. In other words, wealth gained by dishonest means might be easy to get, but it will harm its owner. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapour and a snare of death, says 21:16. See, the principle in Proverbs is that wisdom is always to be preferred over wealth. Look at this one, puts it rather nicely, it's 16:16. 16:16. How much better to get wisdom than gold. To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. How much better to get wisdom than gold? To get understanding, learn things, know God, that's to be chosen rather than silver. But we could put it like this: our character is more important than our bank balance. Many years ago, Daphne and I went to the States on an exchange, and the pastor who stayed in our house left us a tapestry on the wall that he had bought for us. It was a proverb, number 22, and the first one. It said, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favour is better than silver or gold. 22:1. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favour is better than silver or gold. So let's not be foolish, but let's not be greedy either. Now, Mr. Moneybags in Proverbs is to be a generous man. The godly rich man is to be generous. He's not to be tight-fisted. Proverbs really, really encourages generosity. So come with me to 11:24, please. 11:24. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. To be generous means to give to those who are poorer than me. It might mean just giving. They might not be poorer than you. It might be someone who's done you a favour or something and you want to give them a gift and you want to be generous towards them. Look at 19:17 on the same theme. 19:17. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. It's helpful, isn't it? Whoever is generous lends to the Lord. Regard your gift as to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. It's commendable. It's like giving to God when you're generous. You have the same in 22:9. Whoever has a bountiful eye or is generous will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor. And one reason, according to the New Testament, why we are blessed by God when we're generous is that we can continue to be generous. If you're generous and you have a surplus, you can continue to do so. And so God will bless you all the more, as it were. Do you know this comment in 2 Corinthians? He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. So generosity breeds generosity, which allows for thanksgiving. A wise man is generous, but not stupid. Not stupid. Someone said a wise man refuses to spend money he doesn't have, to buy things he doesn't need, to impress people he doesn't even like. I rather like that. A wise man refuses to spend money he doesn't have, to buy things he doesn't need, to impress people he doesn't even like. Now, I know that I'm born Jewish, and I have actually removed the padlocks from my pockets, we Jews, but my wallet certainly has Velcro on it when I want to open it. It's very tight. But I'm like I am for a particular reason. My father overspent. My mother said when they were courting, if he had a pound in his pocket, this was how she put it to me once, she said, if Dad had a pound in his pocket, he'd spend a pound and a penny. He liked giving and being generous, but he didn't have the money to do it. He always overspent. And when he retired, he was on at least his third mortgage. He borrowed from A, then borrowed from B to pay off A, and then borrowed C to pay it off. And we, as older teenagers, said, Dad, you can't carry on like this. He actually had quite a nice whole life policy. And we said, cash that in and pay off the debt. He lived his life always in debt. And that's cautioned me. I've gone the other way. You might be the same. Much of the way in which we spend our money is influenced by our family and our parents. And I've always thought that the godly way is to have enough money, to work hard and to have enough to live within your means. And the idea of budgeting is crucially important. I've discovered even today that many, many of us just do not budget. We have an increase of giving at work, a slight rise, and so we spend all of it. We don't budget. We don't say, well, Lord, you deserve a portion of that extra, so I increase my giving to God. Maybe I'll increase my savings or my pension as well. I don't have to spend it all. Be generous, be generous. It's a good way to live. Be generous. Mr. Moneybags is generous. But, wisdom is always supreme. You see, in Proverbs, wisdom is much more important than money. It's to be prized above everything else. I love this proverb at chapter 3 and verse 15. Come back to it with me. It's a great one. 3:15, wisdom. 3:15, he's talked about money in the chapter, and then he talks about wisdom. And at 3:15, I assume it's Solomon writing these at the early part of Proverbs. And then at 3:15, he talks about wisdom. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. It's a line of a song, isn't it? Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honour. Now, remember, Solomon, young Solomon, could ask anything from God that he wished. Remember what he chose? What would you like? What would you like to have as a gift? And he said, wisdom. Wisdom, he said. That's what I'd like above everything else, wisdom. No wonder he wrote this: the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow to it. 10:22. However, wealth does have benefits. Let's just be honest about this. It does make life easier to navigate if you have a bit more money. A rich man's wealth is like a strong city, says Proverbs. The poverty of the poor is their ruin. Yes, wealth is a great protector for us, isn't it? We can afford things that maybe other people can't afford. We can be more generous than others can be. But then, after he said that wisdom is like a strong city, he says, the wage of the righteous leads to life. The wage of the righteous leads to life. Money can bring many good things. It purchases legal help when I need it. It could purchase education or health care if I need it. It certainly enables me to have friends and to be generous. So Proverbs 14 says, the poor is disliked even by his neighbour, but the rich have many friends. Many seek the favour of a rich man, generous man, and everyone is a friend of a man who gives gifts. Even though money can be used for good, it is still less valuable than wisdom. Wisdom is ultimate. Money is not ultimate. And as we've seen in Proverbs so far, and we need to say again, I think, today to ourselves, Jesus is Mr. Wisdom himself. And we need to, I think, to end on this note that Jesus is to be prized above all else. Did you know that one third of Jesus' stories are about money or possessions? One third of them. Did you know that almost a quarter of Jesus' words discuss money? Did you know that Jesus talked about wealth more than he talked about love, and even more than he talked about heaven and hell, I discovered? Isn't that extraordinary? So when it comes to money, we will either worship wealth, or we will worship with our wealth and give to God's kingdom. Jesus says, use your money for the glory of God. Extend the kingdom of God and do good. Well, to use one quote from Jesus, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Luke 12. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Many, many years ago, I knew a missionary who had come home into retirement, was living in Reading, and came to visit us. And he told me that if you want to encourage people to pray for mission, and for missionaries in particular, suggest they start giving financially. I didn't know where he was going with this comment. He said, you see, where their treasure is, where they invest their money, that's where their heart will be also. You see? If you start putting your money into something, as I say, I'm particularly interested in this cautious fund that I invest into, you see. I want to see how it's doing. So where your treasure is, where you put your money, that's what you'll be interested in. If you invest in a missionary, that's what you'll take an interest in. I think that's really helpful, don't you? We all want to know how our money is doing. Is my money doing well for the kingdom of God? I want to know. If Jesus is Mr. Wisdom himself, or maybe Lady Wisdom in the language of Proverbs, shouldn't we therefore give up everything to get Jesus? Let's pray together. Father and God, we do enjoy Proverbs. They make us smile. They prick us a little bit in our conscience. They provoke us to go in a particular direction. And here we are living in a very beautiful part of your world, where we are provided for with our food and clothing and all good things. We're sorry that we are often so selfish and foolish and squander your resources. Please forgive us. And this morning, please, above all things, help us to become wise. May we see Jesus as wisdom in perfection, and may we prize him above everything else. If we've never, ever grasped his brilliance, please humble us right now and bend our stubborn wills to be true Christ followers, we ask. But we do pray for those in need around us. Richard's told us about a couple who cannot manage, whose benefits have been cut. And it's not always just a matter of pouring more money in or giving more food, although that is very important. It is a matter of learning to live within our means, of trying to find work and working hard. So we pray that when Richard becomes their mentor, they will start to budget well. They will work hard to find work and find suitable work. And they'll be able, as it were, to cut their cloth to their means. We pray, O Lord, for people who just aren't wise enough, or something has gone wrong in life that's not of their making, and they can't get themselves out of it for some reason. But it's not just a matter of human wisdom. It's a matter of knowing that you are the Lord of the universe. It's a matter of knowing that Jesus is all wisdom. It's a matter of knowing that we need to put our lives into his hands, and he really will look after us. So we thank you for the Christian church. We thank you for people who can help us, friends, brothers and sisters, members of CAP who can draw alongside us. We're thrilled to bits to see what happened to Mandy's family, a genuine story that we saw earlier. Now use us. Use us, if we have money, to be generous to others. Use us to be wise if we need help from one another. Use us as a collective family to show the beauty of the Lord Jesus, that he is all wise and well worth following, not just because he provides for us on earth, but because he provides for us in every way, especially our souls and in eternity. We pray to you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's ask the Lord Jesus to be our